You're listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.
All right, so we started a new series last week. We're going to continue with that, obviously, this week. It's called The Spirit of Excellence. We started over in the book of Daniel. We're going to go there in just a minute, but I want to remind you, as we talk about the spirit of excellence, we're going to see where that came from in the scripture, or the life of excellence. I tend to use those two terms interchangeably, but they really are a little bit different. What was seen in Daniel was called an excellent spirit. That's all about character, and we're going to see that pretty clearly today. All right, we're talking about an excellent character or godly character on the inside of us, and that spirit of excellence that we can develop as we walk with God and listen to Him and let Him work on our hearts and add things and remove things and all the stuff that He does. As that happens, we begin to live a life of excellence. And it's not only an excellent life for us, it brings excellence into our culture, into our surroundings, into our neighborhoods, into our families. And so we're going to be talking about this, as usual, for a number of weeks. And we're going to be talking about a number of character qualities that are involved with this. But today, I need to just lay a little bit more foundation before we start launching into these different character qualities. So this is our foundation verse in Daniel chapter 6, verse 3. It says, "Then this Daniel was distinguished above the presidents and the satraps because," I think a satrap's like a governor, okay? "Because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." All right, so the main point I want to make to you today, there will be several, but the main one is that having and developing an excellent spirit, or living the life of excellence, don't ever let discouragement or environment keep you from connecting with God and developing that excellent spirit. Don't let the environment around you restrain you and restrict you from your growth in God. Does that make sense to you? It seems pretty simple. But this verse, here was Daniel. He's a young guy. They have been taken captive into Babylon. He was a Jew. He was a Hebrew. When Babylon came in and took all these people into captivity, Daniel was plucked up and hauled off into a foreign country, pulled away from his family, pulled out of a place where nearly everyone worshiped God, and dropped into a culture that was completely a pagan culture. And there he was. And because of his dedication and devotion to God, he carried this, what the Bible calls, an excellent spirit. There was this character that was seen in him by people who didn't know God, people who didn't care, people who worshiped other gods. We live in kind of a similar situation, not to the extreme he did, but we are surrounded by a very secular culture, and seemingly increasingly so. And I just encourage you in that God's always moving in the earth. There's always revival happening places. You know, things can get quenched in one area and the Spirit of God just brings a whole other group. We have nations coming to minister to the United States of America that we used to send missionaries to. And so that's just always goes on. And so don't ever get discouraged about that. But here he is. It says that he so distinguished himself. This wasn't him making himself important. This wasn't him standing up and saying, "Hey, what a great character, you know, I am." He demonstrated unwavering devotion to God. period. No matter whether there were threats against him, no matter what it was, he was devoted to God and he lived that way. When they challenged him with that, and you can read through his story in the book of Daniel, the lion's den was pretty serious. And his three friends were thrown into the fiery furnace because they wouldn't worship the king. And Daniel himself, at the beginning, when they were still training him, there was a prophetic gift noticed in him. He interpreted some dreams for the king. And because of that, as they promoted him, they put him in charge of all this pagan witchcraft and sorcery, all these people that were sorcerers and magicians and all this stuff. He rose to the top of that and without participating in that. So the environment was not holding him back from becoming all that God had for him to be, but they could see a different level of character in him. And it wasn't because he was out there saying, hey, look at me, I'm so great, you know. He wasn't putting all his stuff up online and getting people to follow him and all of that. He was just living a godly life. He was just living for God. And he refused to compromise. That's all he did. And the king, he found promotion after promotion, just like Joseph. Very similar story to Joseph in the Bible. Kept getting in these terrible situations. Put him in prison. He rises to the top in prison. Do that, throw him in a pit. He comes out of the pit and ends up in charge of Egypt. So Daniel is the same kind of story. And it says that they were so impressed with his character, his excellent spirit, that the king was going to put him over the whole realm. And that ticked off a lot of people, as you can imagine. A lot of those other people that were trying to grab power and were trying to impress the king. And then here's this Hebrew that the king wants to put over the whole realm. Babylon was in charge in those days. They were a big force to be reckoned with in the earth. And the king's thinking, this guy, I can trust this guy. I can see this character in him. I can trust him. I'm going to promote him over the whole realm. All right. So this is just an amazing story because of him being pulled out of this environment where everybody's worshiping God. And I just so often, I think, if we can just get, if I can just go to work at a Christian company, if I can just, if we can just get the right people in office, which is just, crazy to think that secular politics is going to change everything for us. I'm not saying you shouldn't have opinions about that, but we need to understand that what God cares about is the character development that's going on in us. That is his business. He will promote you as there's something in you for him to use and to hold and to trust in whatever he puts you over. Does this make sense to you so far? Yeah. So this character could be so openly seen in him that the king planned to put him in charge. Now, he would have been second, of course, to the king. He wouldn't have been over the king, right? And I just wanted to sidebar on this just for a minute. One thing that we've noticed as we're praying together on Wednesday mornings and that kind of thing, pretty often the Lord will lead us to pray for those in second positions. We're told to pray for our leaders, and we do. But we're often, the Lord puts it on our hearts to pray for those people in second positions. And I think the reason for that is because a lot of times those people in the second position, they have great influence in the person that can actually make the decisions. And they're not so big a target to everybody else. So everybody's trying to attack the person in first position if they're displaying godly character, but those people in second position a lot of times have a lot of influence over what goes on. So I just, again, this is just sidebar, just throw that out to you. I think it's really important for us to be praying for godly wisdom and godly influence for people who are in those second and third and, you know, whatever positions underneath the person that is in charge. And if we want to see things change in our school system, I think that's a great prayer. If we want to see things change in our government, that's a great prayer. We want to see things change in your business or in the people you're working for, that's a great prayer. Pray that those people get saved, that they know God, that they move in godly wisdom. Does that make sense to you? Okay. So, our society mostly promotes getting skills, right? Skill development. And of course, skill development is important. But that's what we invest the most money in. That's what our education system is supposed to be about, getting people skills so they go out and do things. There's nothing wrong with skills. But I want you to notice what God is looking at here, and where God's promotion comes from is from developing godly character. He's looking at what's going on the inside. More so, you can get skills. You can go to school. You can get trained. You can be an apprentice. There are lots of ways to develop skills. And again, skills are important. God can give you skills, all right? But character is something that God develops on the inside of us. And in our culture, our society, we pour tons of money, especially into the education system. I'm not coming down on education, but our system right now tends to remove godly character from people and instead try to put in just skills. You know what I'm saying? We don't care much about the character that's inside of people. Well, that's upside down. And that's not the way God brings promotion. He starts by building on the inside of us character. And then he promotes us and he puts us in different positions. Once we have the character to handle that position and where it won't handle us, where it won't take over, and we can handle it. We cannot get caught up in the wrong things as we find promotion and influence. That's the way God does it. And so we could name lots of examples of people who are in positions of influence. They're wealthy, they're in positions of power, they're in positions of influence, whatever it is that they have built, and they've arrived at that place, but it wasn't that God promoted them, they built it themselves. And when God doesn't build the house, it doesn't last. And so often that's where we see it in churches. We see it all the time in churches. And if there's not that character on the inside to steward well what God gives to us and blesses us with, then we're going to make a mess of it. And it happens all the time. And it hurts people. We see it in the world. We see it in the church. And I don't believe in most of those cases we'll say, oh, God blessed me with this. Well, maybe he did. I mean, I can't really tell from the outside. But I don't believe we pray for these big things. I don't believe God gives us things that before he develops the character to handle them. Okay? And that's why I really wasn't going to talk about any of this morning. That's why we see so many cases in the scripture. We can look at David. We can look at the Apostle Paul. We look at different people. They were called to something. And it was years before they stepped into it, many years, because God was developing them before he could put them in that position. God doesn't want to put us in positions where we're just going to hurt a bunch of people that he cares about. And so there's a lot of talk out there, and there's a lot of, well, you know, God gave me this, God called me to this. I hope he did, but pay attention to what he's doing on the inside, okay? There's a, because, man, we have people getting hurt. We have believers, you know, walking away from church, walking away from God because some leader falls. And as God gives you more influence and puts you in these different positions, the devil's going to attack you more. It's the way it is. So you're going to need solid character as you work into things that, and bigger things that God wants to entrust you. And I believe he wants to entrust those things to you. Is this making sense to you? Okay. So we spend an awful lot of money on skill development, acquiring education, all of that. And what we want to be sure of, and this really concerns me, with generations right now, there's such a system of just moving them through our education system. It's like this is just what you have to do. And a lot of that system is there undoing the character that they might start into when they go to university. So it's a problem, and it's something we need to be praying over, okay? Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 29. You guys, most of you, very familiar with these verses, very popular verses. Jeremiah 29:11. All right, so again, the point of this, us getting into this today, is that that life of excellence or a spirit of excellence, it's not the result of having to be in the right environment. And this is just another example of it here today. So Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, it says, "For I know," this is God speaking, "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Boy, I love that. "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." Boy, there's a lot of good stuff in those verses. And we can see in this, we can see God's attitude. We can see God's heart. We can see God's nature. Okay? He has good plans for you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to have that kind of relationship where you can call out to him and you'll hear him. You know, he'll answer. But we, you know, that we will hear. He'll listen to us. When you seek him, you'll find him. When you seek him with all your heart. All right? So these verses that we love were spoken to a people who had just gone into a 70 years of captivity and were never going to get out of that captivity. These people that this was spoken to were going to be dead by the time that captivity was over. So God says, "I have these great plans for you," and we love that. Yeah, he has plans to prosper me. Okay, he has plans for me to have a great relationship with him. He has plans for my family. All his plans and his thoughts toward us, the Bible says, are for good, not for evil. Okay, that's all wonderful stuff. But we tend to think, okay, then we just have to change the environment in our society, and then I can start living in that blessing. But these people were never going to get out of the situation they were in. So his instruction to them, okay, and I say this because there's so many people waiting, things, I'll never see God's blessing as long as the wrong person is in office, okay? I'll never see God's blessing until Gunnison County gets it together. Well, I want Gunnison County to get it together. We all want Gunnison County to get it together. It'd be wonderful if Gunnison County would get it together, okay? But that's not where our life and blessing comes from. We have something better than that. His instruction to these people, you can back up to verse 4, to these same people, "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there." do not increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you in exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. The Bible tells us two things. It tells us that if it prospers, because we're praying for it, we are praying for change, we are believing God for change, we are believing God for a greater move of God in our society. I'm not at all saying we shouldn't be doing that. We are praying for all that. It says because of that, this culture, this society, every part of it will be blessed and prosper. The Bible also says over in Proverbs that as we prosper, the people of God prosper, it says the city rejoices. Okay, so it kind of goes both ways. But as we are being blessed, the city rejoices. And part of our role is to pray that blessing into a city or a country or a county or whatever that we might not fully agree with and that might not be on the right page as far as biblically. Does this make sense to you? He says, here are the things that he tells them. He tells them, build. You're there, you're in captivity. You're in the middle of a pagan culture. You build. My people need to build. You need to increase. You need to press into me. You need to increase. Okay? So it's not get this attitude on the inside of us that, well, until everything on the outside changes, I can't prosper. I can't grow. He goes on. He says, sow and reap. Use the principles of the scripture. Plant good seed in every area of your life. And the Bible says when we plant seeds, we pray over that seed. Every seed we plant is going to produce a harvest. This is the law of Genesis. This is the way the planet works. And we are planting seeds every day with our words, with our attitudes, with the way that we live, with how we bless other people or don't bless other people. We're either planting good seed or bad seed every single day. And that seed, what we're living in today, is the result of seed we've planted in the past. And he tells them, hey, plant gardens. That can be a physical garden, so you have something to eat, fine. But there's a spiritual principle behind this. What are we sowing into the places we work? What are we sowing into our education system, our political realm, our government, all of that? What are we sowing into our families? What are we sowing into our neighborhoods? We're going to live in that. Do you get it? So he's telling them, increase, plant good seed, build, be builders. Don't be slothful. Don't just sit back and wait for it to change. These people were going to die in captivity. Their kids were going to get out. But right now, this is how life was going to be. And God is saying, increase there. Increase right where you are. I just think that's a huge message for us in this day and age. It says marry and have kids, okay? I take that as more than just have children. I mean, that's part of it. But how many people today, how many people do we see? Number one, they reject marriage because they don't want commitment in their lives. That's a whole other subject, okay? But number two, a lot of young couples, they won't have children because they're looking around at the world and, oh, it's so bad. And it's on both sides of the political deal. Everything's so terrible for one reason or another, okay? So we can't plan for the future. We can't believe God for something better. We can't look to the future. And they're literally not having children. And that is a picture of hopelessness, okay? And I'm not saying go out there and have 12 children, you know, all that's up to you, between you and God, but I am saying there's a picture here. Live with hope for the future. Build something. Well, it might just all fall down tomorrow. Well, it might not. And you know what? We have picture after picture after picture in the scripture. When Israel was in Egypt, there's light in their house. It's dark everywhere else. Right? The death angel comes over, skips over them. Frogs in the palace, no frogs in their house. We've got picture after picture after picture in the scripture of God taking care of his people in the middle of bad situations. And this is it's not about the environment. Live with a vision for the future based on faith in God. I don't know exactly what that means for you. I don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, but God does. But we do all need to live with hope and with vision and with faith. You can build in the middle of a bad situation. You can increase in the middle of a bad situation. He says, increase in number, do not decrease. Build the kingdom of God. Increase in number. Minister to people around you. We are surrounded with people. I don't know, this has really been on my heart the last few days. I think about that verse that talks to us about how David said, he lifted me out of the miry clay. And I just, you know, a few weeks ago, Jamie will probably tell this story sometime when she's back, but there were some people rented a boat up there at Taylor, and you know how all the water's dropped, and they went someplace across the lake, and the guy jumped out and went in, how deep, like thigh deep, yeah, into the mud. And he was stuck there. He could not get out. And they were able to call the marina, and RJ and some of the guys went over there and had to pull the guy out of the mud. He'd have died there. I mean, the water was cold, and he's up that high just in mud. I don't know how high the water was on him. But I just think about my life. I think about choices I've made. I think about different things. And that just ministers to me so much. David said that God lifted him out of that miry clay that he couldn't get himself out of and set him on a rock. And of course, that rock is Jesus. That rock is the Word of God. But we need to have that and realize in our lives, we need to reproduce ourselves by discipling people. Who cares if we experience some rejection? Who cares? If you make 10 people mad but one gets saved, heaven's going to celebrate over the one, okay? It is so important that we be a light in this world now, not waiting for the environment to get better, okay? He says, seek peace and prosperity for the city in which you live. Pagan city, they're captives. And he says, seek the peace and prosperity. That's not complaining online day in and day out. That's not the picture, okay? It doesn't say gripe about your city. I'm preaching this to me as much as to you. I hope you know that. It's so easy to just repeat, speak the words, repeat what's wrong. That takes no faith. It takes no hope, nothing to repeat what's wrong and to continue to water what's wrong with our words. That takes nothing of spiritual value. I'm preaching this to me as much as to you. I hope. Are you having fun so far in church? It takes nothing but seeking the peace and the prosperity of people you don't agree with. We've got to get this kingdom mentality. Every person is of so much value. God loves every single one. God has a plan to prosper them too. And yes, they need what Jesus came to give. But man, it's just so easy. There's just such a negative flow out there. It's so easy to get involved in that. But the message of the gospel is we're not here for us. We're not here just to live for us. God will take care of us, but we're not here just for us. We're here for somebody else. The love of God is here for somebody else. God was there for us, and we're here for other people, even the people we disagree with, even the people we find offensive. He's here for us. We need to be here for them. Okay, so I'm just gonna wrap it up with this. I want to give it to you. I think we're just gonna finish with this. I just want to talk a little bit about what character is, which seemed like a weird thing to me. It's like, well, everybody knows what character is, but I really, again, the Lord just put this on my heart. So when the Bible talks about character, this is I thought this was an interesting phrase. The definition of this term is the settled disposition of the soul. And we know the soul is our mind, our emotions, and our will. It's a settled disposition. We talk about somebody's disposition. It's their attitude, right? Their underlying attitude, their personality. It's their disposition. He has an angry disposition, or he has a, you know, happy disposition, or whatever it is, you know, but it's their disposition. It's not just a momentary thing. And this says character that God wants in us. It's a settled disposition of the way we think and the way we choose, the way we view life, right? The way we, the actual underlying driving force of the way that we think and the way that we feel and the way that we choose. That's what character is. It's settled. It doesn't come and go. You don't have character one day and no character the next, okay? Character lies under everything that we do, the way that we function. And no matter what kind of character you have, that's where it is. It's a settled stance of the heart. It's an unchanging foundation in us that drives our choices. It drives how we view things, what we will participate in, what we won't participate in, that kind of thing. Character is a set of personal attributes that encompasses, right? So it includes all of this, a person's values and their ethics and their moral underpinnings. That's what your character is. And so as the Lord, you know, as Christians, we say we're Christians, right? That word actually means little Christs. That's what that word means. And so we are disciples of Jesus. And disciples, so we're followers of Jesus. That's the popular way to say it today. I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay, well, that's good. A disciple is a learner, but they're learning not just to gain information. They're learning so they become like the person they're learning from. That's what discipleship is. We become like him. So the Bible, the New Testament, is filled with the idea that we give our lives to Christ. We accept him as Lord and Savior. We get born again. Spirit of God comes to live in us. And from there on, the rest of our life is involved in character development. It is involved in becoming more of the mind, changing the way we think, changing us on the inside. And he does it through his word and through his spirit. So our values change. Our ethics change. Our morals change. There are a lot of things that at one time in my life I believed were perfectly right and good that weren't. And the Lord had to deal with those things on the inside of me and show me a different way. He had to bring me into a different understanding. And he does that very lovingly, but you know, I was just wrong. That's all there is to it. I was wrong. And he was right. It's kind of a surprise, you know, as that happens in your life. Oh, God's right. And the worst one is mom was right. That's a tough one to get through. But it turns out she was right a lot of the time. So your character guides your decisions, your actions in life, that kind of thing. It drives the way we respond to pressures and temptation. Okay, you respond to pressure differently from godly character than you do just from the character you might have grown up with. Okay, I love this one. To me, this is kind of the most important thing. Your character is most accurately reflected in how you act and what choices you make when no one is watching. It's when you're alone with your computer. Where you go, what you do. You're alone with your phone. Where you go, what you look at, what you ingest, what you participate in. It's when your wife is out of town, okay? Or you're out of town. What do you do? What do you look at? What about when you're at work and nobody's going to know how you handle stuff? What about when everybody today wants to be their own boss, okay? And fine. But a lot of people fail at that. The moral failure comes when they have no oversight. Why? Didn't have to be that way. Doesn't happen to everybody, okay? But many times moral failure comes when we don't have oversight or accountability. Why? Because we didn't have enough character developed on the inside of us, okay? And there are lots of situations where you can make decisions about the way you do business or the way you act as an employee. And it can be really small things. It can be really small things. It can be as small as being on time for work. That's character. Being on time, even if nobody else is. I gave my word. This is what they asked of me. I gave my word. I'll be there. I'm going to be there. Okay? That's an example of character. And nobody might know. Or everybody goes home except you, and you're supposed to do such and such or stay till such and such a time. Do you stay till that time? I mean, it's little stuff. The scripture, and we're going to look at faithfulness as one of these characteristics. It's one of the big ones. Jesus said, when you're faithful over the little thing, you will be faithful over much. And if you're not faithful over the little thing, you won't be faithful over much. It wasn't like maybe. Jesus said, this is the way it works. This is the way it works. So those little tiny things in life can be so important to developing a spirit of excellence and to demonstrating a spirit of excellence. But that's where it's reflected the most is when nobody's going to know the difference, whether you acted in godly character or not. Colossians 3:22, this is the Passion Translation, it says, let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. Why? For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of the Lord. Okay? So, character also, a person is known, it affects your reputation. A person is known by how much character they have or the lack of it, whether anybody can trust them or not, whether, you know, they're going to steal something or not, whether they're going to follow through or not, whether they're going to do what they said they would do or not. It's people are known by that character, okay? And you're going to take on the character. This is just the way it is. You'll take on the character of the people you hang out with the most, people you admire the most, people you spend the most time kind of looking at and admiring. You're going to take on their character. We're just kind of that way. We like to think, oh, no, I'm too strong for that. Well, you know, we're just made this way, okay? So it's really important who we hang out with, who we have as friends. We've got to make decisions about all of that if we want to have that excellent spirit on the inside. I'm just going to give you this. I'm done. The first characteristic we were going to talk about, we're just done for today, but is wholehearted devotion to God. There's no way to have what God calls a spirit of excellence. And that's what we see in Daniel. If you read his story, that promotion didn't just come out of the blue and didn't just happen one day. And that's the first thing we see about him. No, we see he's devoted to God. We see he has a prayer life. We see those kinds of things that are just foundational. But that wholehearted, unwavering devotion to God is the foundation of a spirit of excellence. Okay, you ready to pray? Did you get anything out of this? And there. All right. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you stand up today, pray for you, and set you into the wild. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God, I believe this group of people, they wouldn't be here today if they didn't love you, love your nature, and want to be disciples of Christ. That's why we're here. And so, Father, I just pray for every single one here, everyone online, everyone who hears this message later. I pray for every one of us, Lord, that we would give ourselves, first of all, wholeheartedly to you and to living a life that pleases you. And then, Father, that we would give ourselves to your word, to that interaction with you that develops character in us. I pray that every one of us would be wide open in our hearts toward you to change whatever you need to change, whatever you want to change, because we know that every change you make in us is for our good and for the good of others around them. We just trust you in that. You are a good God, and you are faithful to develop the character within us. So, Lord, we just yield that. We come open-heartedly to you in that. And I pray, Father, over this group and those online and everything, Father, as they go out into this world, into this environment, whatever that environment might be, Lord, that they shine like stars. They shine like lights, even if it's in a really dark place. Lord, that the character that is within them is so obvious. They're not having to go out and try to display it. It's just who they are. And Father, people are drawn to that light, and that light is you. And so, Lord, we thank you for all of that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll have people up here after church to pray for you. If you need prayer for anything, please come up and get some prayer. And I just believe you are going to go out into this world and carry Christ out there and change some lives. So let's say it on the count of three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. We'll be dismissed. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. Amen. Go out there and be the church.
Thank you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.